Short text this morning from Luke's Gospel, chapter 22. People were gathered, in effect, people of the early church. And not surprisingly, Luke tells us, a dispute arose among them. Which of them was to be regarded as the greatest? And he said to them, the kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and those in authority over them are called benefactors, but not so with you. Rather, let the greatest among you become as the youngest, and the leader as one who serves. Well, if you measure greatness as the size of a paycheck, Texas Tech University has the second greatest football coach in the state. I believe Mack Brown is still the highest paid public employee working for the state of Texas, but Mike Leach is number two. A high price for what he does. And a higher price apparently this year for those who watch what he does. I sent in my season ticket reorder form this week, and it was about 20% higher, paying the price, because it's entertaining, it's fun to watch what happens on the football field. I think it's kind of an interesting little sociological window on our culture. When we examine what we collectively, and in some sense personally, are willing to pay a lot of money to do or have done on our behalf. And we pay a lot of money to people who work in the entertainment industry, music, and certainly on the athletic field, to entertain us, to amaze us, to give us something to talk about, to have a little fun in their company, or at least vicariously in their company, through television and so on. Sports celebrities are not even among the highest paid, but they get a lot. It's intriguing to me how the price of that activity, however, is so variable and in many ways rather tenuous. Sports Illustrated every year publishes the list of the, I shouldn't say highest paid, but those who earn the most in competitive sports. And in 2007, and the 08 list will be out soon, in 07, the highest compensated male athlete was Tiger Woods, who plays professional golf, and the highest compensated female athlete was Maria Sharapova, who's a professional tennis player. And the money they received playing golf and tennis through winning tournaments or placing well in tournaments pales in comparison to the money they earn endorsing other products. People who run businesses pay, among many others, Tiger Woods and Maria Sharapova, a lot of money to attach their name and likeness to their product. But the price of that goes up and down rather dramatically. I don't know that this is surely true, but I think when the 08 list comes out, both Tiger Woods and Maria Sharapova will not be at the top because for the last year or so they've been injured. And the cost of their endorsements would go down because they are damaged goods. And that comes and goes. One of the big sticking points in Mike Leach's contract was, well, how much is it going to cost us if we want to fire you? When you inevitably screw it up, as everybody does in your job, what's it going to cost us? The price of these activities varies on performance. Let me suggest that greatness, defined as price, is less useful than greatness defined as value. There's a difference between price and value. Imagine the value of the work done by one particular airline pilot about 5 or 6 weeks ago, whose name we had never heard of, but now everybody knows, Sully Sullenberger, who went to work on an ordinary day, bringing to his job the skills for which he'd been trained, and ended the day something of a hero for what he has said repeatedly was simply doing my job. I come to work every day, he said, more or less prepared to do that. I've been trained to land planes in rivers. Hasn't happened before that I needed to, but I was ready to. And by the way, you can pay 15 or 20 airline pilots for the cost of a football coach. Thought you might want to know that. And the value of his work, especially on that particular day, however, is priceless. You can't put a value on the saving of 155 lives. Neither, for example, the paramedic, the EMT, the firefighter, the first responder, who runs into your burning house when everybody else has run out, except you can't because your leg is broken, and hauls you out. Can you place a value on that work? Or a price, I should say? The value is incalculable. You can buy the services of 100 first responders for the same price as one football coach. So also 100 elementary school teachers. And every one of us has had teachers who have taught us what we use every single day to read, arithmetic, and later on to think. The value of that work is priceless. And let me suggest to you that that is also true for the value of any work done by any of us, whether it be work for which we are paid a salary or an hourly rate, or work that we do in our homes or as volunteers in any place where it seems that what we can do needs getting done. The value of true greatness is priceless. The value of true greatness is in its service to others. I learned early on that the kids that haul our groceries from Market Street to the car get in trouble if we don't let them do it. They get in bigger trouble if they accept a tip because their job is to serve. And a number of these young people, I've also noticed, are wounded, injured perhaps, developmentally or through an accident, and are serving with the best that they have. And I'm sorry, Mr. Jefferson, all of us are not created equal. We have different levels of skill and intellect, but that's not what determines the value of what we do. What determines the value of what we do is rooted in our ability to serve in our own specific, particular way. We serve. I think of a young woman who's now a graduate student in our department, just finishing up her first year. I knew her as an undergraduate. She asked me 3 or 4 years ago to write a letter of recommendation for her to become a McNair Scholar, which is a scholarship program that's given to students who are the first in their family, first-generation college students. And I was a little bit reluctant to do that because she'd been in my class and I knew her fairly well. But you don't really want to write a letter of recommendation for someone that says, well, they're decent enough. She was an average to slightly better student. You want to be able to shine up a letter of recommendation. Well, this student was good enough for other reasons. Her father has a third grade education and does not speak English. This is a woman who is doing a lot with what she has, which is a lot less than most. So she became a McNair Scholar, and she wound up in graduate school. And in her first year of graduate study with us, she's carrying a 3-point average, which is decent enough. It's sort of minimally competent to continue in graduate school. You have to have a 3-point average to continue. She has not earned an A in any class. Neither has she earned a C. So she's steady and doing a lot with what she has. And this week, our graduate committee got together and decided to award her another small scholarship because she's doing a lot with what she has. That's what all of us are called to do. It is not a competition in life to be the priciest of whatever it is we do. We are called to a vocation which simply asks us to examine what we have in the way of skills, intellect, and opportunity, to examine what we have and do a little something with it. Do a little something with it in service to others, to our families, and to simply be our part of this large body of Christ. True greatness, Jesus says, means serving with what you have. And all of us have a little something. And for all of us, God says, it's good enough. Amen.